You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. It's your pet. Health matters. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan. Thanks so much for listening. Today is part one in a two-part series, during which we're going to discuss a very important subject that I think most people misunderstand. Actually, I think it's the most underdiagnosed problem in veterinary medicine today, and I really hope that all your pets are going to benefit from this incredibly serious problem of pain in our pets. It's so important to learn to recognize pain. And, you know, sometimes I'm in the exam room and someone will come in and say, well, my pet's limping. He's not in pain. He's just limping. And I look at them and I say, you know, why do you think they're limping? What would cause you to limp? And they kind of look at me and they don't say anything. And they're like, because it hurts when I step on my leg all the way. And all of a sudden their face starts to flush. And I say, aha, that's often the pet's owner's aha moment, when they realize that their pet is actually limping because it's uncomfortable. So what seems so logical to some people really is not that logical to others. But when it comes to keeping our four-legged children happy, there's really no room for errors like that. But recognizing pain in our pets is really not that easy. Oftentimes they don't limp and they hardly ever cry, even though they're uncomfortable. And even sometimes their mood will change, or we think it's from age or circumstances at home maybe, but sometimes pain isn't even considered. And so I don't have to tell you all how hard it is to detect discomfort in our pets. We love them so much. We know their behaviors. And hopefully after listening to this, everyone's going to feel so much better about how to detect pain and discomfort in our pets, both dogs and cats. Because it's such a huge and important topic, in this episode, we're going to concentrate wholly on how to recognize pain in our pets. In a second part of this series, we're going to discuss managing that pain. So now we're going to recognize it, and then we have to figure out what we can do about it. So in our next episode, we're going to discuss methods of addressing discomfort, whether it's medication, physical therapy, homeopathy, laser, hyperbaric oxygen, and tons more. And what the best part of the show is, our guest. For this series, she's an incredibly accomplished veterinarian and really just such a pioneer in the management of pain. And her name is Dr. Robin Downing. And Dr. Downing has dedicated herself and her entire career to helping recognize pain and treat pain in animals. Believe it or not, she's certified in 7 areas of specialized practice and is a diplomate of the American Academy of Pain Management. That's a human distinction. We don't even have that in veterinary medicine, so that's how accomplished. She's not only that, she's a certified veterinary pain practitioner, a certified veterinary acupuncturist, I don't even know how to pronounce, Thai Na practitioner, she can fix that for us, a certified canine medical massage, and certified in canine rehabilitation, and an animal chiropractic, and a certified pain educator. She's received countless accolades for her contributions to veterinary medicine and for her many, many accomplishments. She's also the founder and the owner of the Downing Center for Animal Pain Management in Windsor, Colorado. So obviously we are so lucky to have her for our guest in this two-part series. We're going to take a break now to hear from our sponsor. But as soon as we get back, we'll hear from Dr. Robin Downing of the Downing Center for Animal Pain Management, joining us from Windsor, Colorado, explaining how you can recognize pain in your pets.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail-wagging, fur-flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. With us now is renowned Dr. Robin Downing, a specialist in pain management in veterinary patients. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm just thrilled to present this important topic today.
Thank you, Diane. I'm really, really delighted to have the opportunity to be with you as well and to share information with your pet-owning and pet-loving listeners.
Great. So I see you're a certified pain educator. What is that? I've never heard of that.
So the certified pain educator comes to us from the American Society of Pain Educators, and this is a human pain management organization dedicated to improving pain management through education and through the training of healthcare professionals. So CPEs, Certified Pain Educators, are really in the profession to educate their clinical peers, educate patients, families, and caregivers on how to relieve pain safely. And my goal in pursuing the CPE credential was to translate what I learned in preparing for that examination to what I do as a veterinarian and to what I practice as veterinary pain management. And really what it comes down to is education is really at the very heart of it all, both for pet owners as well as for veterinary professionals.
That's why I'm so excited. I'm going to learn so much today. So tell me, what is pain?
Pain is such a complex phenomenon that we all of us who deal with pain in our patients, whether we're human practitioners or veterinary practitioners, drill down to what is considered the lowest common denominator, the most fundamental definition of pain, and that comes to us from the International Association for the Study of Pain, where the phenomenon of pain is defined as an unpleasant and emotional experience that's associated with either actual or potential damage to tissues. And the interesting second half of that definition goes like this: the inability to communicate in no way negates the possibility that an individual is experiencing pain and deserves appropriate pain-relieving treatment. That second half of that definition is so important to us as veterinarians, Diane, that we, of course, know our patients can't self-report, so we must speak on their behalf and advocate on their behalf. That's really at the heart of pain and pain management, is recognizing that our patients have a need and then advocating to relieve their suffering.
That's so important. You're right. And it's so frustrating for veterinarians because they don't tell us. And so we really have to have that skill that hopefully you're going to sharpen my skills today. Now, there's a lot of ways that pets manifest pain. Why don't you tell us a little bit about different manifestations of pain in our pets?
So we used to be trained that there were different types of pain. Kind of the old way of looking at pain was to think of pain as a series of cubby holes, and we could plug our patients into those cubby holes. So we had acute pain, and we had acute surgical pain, and we had acute traumatic pain, like an animal that was hit by a car. We had chronic pain, and then we had osteoarthritis pain, and we had cancer pain. And now what we understand, with really a better understanding of what the nervous system is and what a complex organ that it is, we have sort of a new way of thinking about pain. And we have Dr. Clifford Wolf from Harvard Medical School to thank for this. He really created for the pain community an opportunity to rethink how we approach pain and what we know about it. He really defined for us adaptive versus maladaptive pain. So adaptive pain is that pain that allows us to survive. So I touch a hot stove, my body reflexly pulls my hand away from that hot stove before I can actually damage myself. Maladaptive pain, on the other hand, is pain that has become self-perpetuating, where even the slightest pressure or touch is perceived as painful. This is also known as pain as disease, where pain itself is the disease. And Wolf's point was, if we don't take care of adaptive pain, like the sprained ankle or the surgical procedure or the fracture, if we don't take care of adaptive pain appropriately in its early stages, it will actually evolve into maladaptive pain. And that's why it's so critical for us, both as pet owners and as veterinarians, to understand how we can intervene on our patients' behalf early in their pain phenomenon, providing good post-operative pain management, for instance, so that that pain doesn't become chronic. In the case of an injury, intervening early to restore normal function and good pain relief so that that animal doesn't evolve or devolve, in this case, into a maladaptive pain state. And so we can see animals really can experience pain on a multitude of dimensions. One of the things that I'm often asked is, do I think that pets can manifest their pain with an emotional component? And the answer is absolutely yes. The ouch is the what does it feel like. The emotional component is how does it make you feel. And animals really can manifest their pain in both of those dimensions.
I like that. How does it make you feel and what does it feel like? I like that. So let's talk more in specifics about how owners can recognize pain. And I thought maybe the easiest way would be to do dogs first, and then we could talk about cats. So
okay.
If you want to just take it from here and give us your insight on how we can recognize pain in our dogs and what kind of pain they experience.
Let me start with a few sort of general comments, kind of a broad focus, and then we'll narrow our laser beam to dogs in particular. When we think about animals manifesting pain, it's important for us to really think about any change that we see in their behavior that could be a trigger to us that they might be uncomfortable. So what would that look like? Well, it might look like they're depressed. It might look like they're reserved. They might become withdrawn. We need to remember that our animals, both dogs and cats, they have joy in their lives, and they express that joy. So if we see them lose their joy, then this is a real signal to us that we need to pay attention. They may become crabby or even aggressive. I also have patients who become overly solicitous. These are the animals that become Velcro animals. They're looking for us to help them not be painful. And so they stick themselves to us as though they're begging us to please take care of their pain. And what's frustrating on all levels is that most pet owners really don't recognize pain. And in fact, many veterinarians miss pain as well, although we as a profession are trying to do our best to turn that around, to really learn what are the signs and signals of pain in pets. Now that we understand that they're wired the same way we are, that they have the hardware, if you will, they can run the software, which of course is pain. Now for dogs, it's really interesting to think about how can their behavior change that would allow us to know they might be dealing with pain. So what I coach my clients to look for are losses of normal behaviors and then the emergence of abnormal behaviors. So I'd like to give a few maybe specific examples of the kinds of things we would need to pay attention to and look for, if that sounds like a reasonable next
Please,
step.
Please, yeah.
So let's talk about oral pain. We know that 85% of pets in our world here in the U.S. over the age of 3 years of age have periodontal disease, dental disease, that warrants a professional intervention, cleaning and polishing, or a treatment of the gums, or we may even have teeth that are compromised and need to be removed. So what do we do about oral pain? Well, we may see changes in their eating or drinking behavior. These are dogs that might start dropping their food out of their dish, or they've always liked what they eat and now they're reluctant to chew their food, or they're reluctant to eat what they've always eaten. You may see increased drooling. You may see a dog who used to really love to have their face rubbed by the family and grab their lips and kind of smack them around, and now they don't want you to touch their face. They may smack their lips. They may lick their lips. You may see them open and close their mouth more than normal. What about a pain in the eye? If they're rubbing their face or they're squinting, that's a cue that we need to look more carefully at the eyes. And still staying on the head, what about the ears? If we've got a bad ear infection, there's nothing more excruciating than that. Anyone who has had an infant child who's had an ear infection knows how miserable those kids are. And dogs very often will develop ear infections. They'll be, don't touch my head. They might shake their head excessively, scratch, rub their head on the carpet or on the furniture. Lameness, as you mentioned earlier, really intriguing, that most lamenesses do in fact mean that the animal is painful. We can have lamenesses that are called mechanical lamenesses, where we actually have a change in the structure of a limb. And it's important when I'm talking with my clients to help them understand the difference. But by and large, lameness does mean pain. The irony is not all painful pets limp. And so this is where we get into a bit of a conundrum of really having to educate ourselves as pet owners that we might not see our pets limp even if they have pain in a single limb. For instance, if I have a dog that has osteoarthritis in both of its knee joints in the back legs, and both of those knee joints are painful, they won't necessarily limp because they're painful in both of their rear legs. And so they're still not going to walk normally, but I might not notice one side versus the other. When we talk about things like abdominal pain, I ate something I shouldn't have, or I'm having a bout of inflammation of my pancreas, pancreatitis. These are animals that will crouch or have their back arched. In dogs, we often see them assume what we call a praying position. Well, they'll drop their front feet to the floor, and they're trying to stretch that abdomen because it just hurts so badly for them. And then for back pain, one of the most common reports I get from my clients for animals that I go on to discover have back pain is that suddenly their dogs have decreased stamina. They don't want to be petted. They don't want to be groomed. They can't get up on the furniture like they've always done. They can't get up on the bed to sleep with the owner at night. And they become irritable with people, especially with children. I actually had a patient named Buck who came to my practice for euthanasia because he had bitten the 4-year-old child at home. And this was so out of character for Buck. He'd been good with this child's whole life. Buck was now 10. The kid came when Buck was 6. They played together. He taught this boy how to walk by letting him grasp his hair. And Buck would stand up with this young boy and literally taught him how to walk. And now, all of a sudden, Buck is 10, the child is 4, and Buck has bitten the boy. Well, it turns out that this young man ran over to his favorite black dog in the world and wrapped his arms around his waist and gave him a big hug. Buck had such excruciating back pain that he couldn't help himself, and he swung around and he bit this child. It turns out that Buck's pain was fairly easy to manage, and now Buck is 13 years old and still in his household because we were able to avoid euthanasia just by recognizing that, in fact, he was so painful, he just could not help himself. And so it's just kind of an overview of the kinds of things we see with dogs who are painful.
All right, so we need to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we're going to summarize what to look for in dogs. I'm going to ask a few more questions because I want to be able to tell as a vet what I need to touch and what I might be missing. And then when we come back, we'll learn how to recognize pain in cats. So we are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on awesome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
Dyson.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, that you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/best and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/best, B-E-S-T.
Welcome to Sassy Seniors, a show about our fabulous older dogs and cats. I'm your host, Kelly Jackson. You know, I wanted to create a show to really showcase our senior pets. And, you know, as the human population ages and lives longer, of course, so are our wonderful pets. But many of us with aging pets, it's so interesting. We have a tough time realizing or really admitting that they are seniors. So, in a way, I kind of like to think of our senior pets as wise puppies. What do you think about that? Be sure to join us for another edition of Sassy Seniors. And remember, celebrate your senior pets.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
We're back, and we're really glad you waited because we're going to learn more of one of the most important things I can think of in veterinary medicine, how to recognize pain in our pets. And next episode, we're going to learn what to do about it. We are speaking to a world-renowned pain specialist, Dr. Robin Downing, and she is giving us lots and lots of information of how we can recognize pain. We're starting with dogs. And just to summarize a few things, actually, one more question, Dr. Downing. Do dogs get headaches?
What a great question. And of course, dogs do get headache because they have brains and they have all the same tissue around their brains that we have. So we can get headaches, they can get headaches. When I was doing my study for my diplomate in the American Academy of Pain Management, which is a human pain credential, one of the things that really astounded me, Dr. Diane, was the fact that there are so many headache syndromes that are all different that are defined in humans. I had no idea. I just thought headache meant your head hurt. Well, of course, the key to all of those dynamic headache pain syndromes is that we as humans can report what our headache feels like. So herein lies the big conundrum with dogs and cats. What do we do for a dog that has a headache? How do we know a dog has a headache? Well, it's a great question. They must have headache, but how do we know? Well, unfortunately, we can't easily know. And the things that I think about when I think about headache in a dog would be a dog that spends a lot of time either rubbing their head, scratching at their face, scratching at their head, shaking their head. In veterinary school, you and I were taught about a phenomenon called head pressing, where they'll actually put the top of their head against a piece of furniture or even against the floor and just push.
Because that's so sad.
That, of course, what we'll do. Now that we recognize how often brain tumors and stroke and other cranial diseases happen, it's impossible for us not to understand that we have patients whose heads hurt, and we need to really raise our awareness of watching for how they might change their own interaction with their own body, in this case, with their head.
Wow, there's so much to think about. So I just want to quickly summarize what we've discussed about behavior, about pain in dogs and how to recognize. So one of the major things is behavior change where they become withdrawn or become clingy. But also one of the things is behavior changes. So they could either become very withdrawn or they could become very clingy. And then you also mentioned that there's a loss of normal behavior, some sort of change in their overall behavior. And it just makes us wonder, gee, I wonder what's going on. Sometimes it's a change in the eating pattern. Sometimes they'll resent what they normally used to like as far as considering things pleasant to the touch, like a petting on the back or a pet on the face, which is something I never really thought of. And maybe they'll show a lameness, maybe they won't. Changes in posture, also very important to recognize. And change in their gait, so maybe limping, maybe not, just looking funny when they walk. And also changes in jumping on the furniture and things like that. And I think as a veterinarian, the most important thing I'm getting from this is that if I don't ask my clients these questions, they may not know what to tell me. So I feel like after learning all this, I need to really include these kinds of questions in my physical exam and in my history and say, hey, has there been any change in these things? And not to chalk it up to age. What do you think?
Well, you have very elegantly summarized the key components of recognizing pain in pets. And one of the most common misconceptions that's out there is that somehow old age is a disease and that we should just expect that our pets will get painful and slow down because after all, they're old. Well, I'm 54 now and I got news for you that the older I get, the more I believe that old age is not a disease and that we do need to pay attention. And really, it drills down to all the things that you just articulated, changes in behavior to your listening audience. These are the things that you need to be paying attention to. Changes in interaction, your dog with your family members. Loss of the what we call activities of daily living. So on the human pain side, they talk about ADLs, activities of daily living. And we have now really tried to get ourselves in the habit of talking to our clients about activities of daily living. And this means, what do you do? What's your day look like? What does your dog's day look like? And taking a little inventory of those things when the dog is young so that we have a benchmark for as the dog ages, because it's really insidious. Pain takes away our activities very, very slowly, one piece at a time. And another really critical piece, and this is true for both pet owners and for you and for me as veterinarians, Dr. Diane, and this is a very important consideration when it comes to pain in both dogs and cats, and that is if we suspect pain, that we should treat that pain and monitor the response to therapy. Right. Because sometimes we'll have animals that are very stoic. I think of some of my Labrador Retriever patients who would just as rather play with their tennis ball as do anything else in the world. And they may be suffering pain, but they're still driven to do what dogs do. If we suspect pain, we can treat as though pain exists, and we can monitor the response to therapy because the response to therapy can be diagnostic. When I was a veterinary student at the University of Illinois many years ago, I had the privilege of listening to the late Lloyd Davis, who was a very famous pharmacologist, who lectured and said that in our patients, the suspicion of pain is the only situation wherein it is appropriate for us to treat without having a definitive answer. In other words, we don't withhold pain medication just because we're not sure that the animal is painful. And this can really give us some insight into, is that animal's activity a reflection of the presence of pain? If we take that pain away, how does their behavior and how do their activities change?
Right. And also make sure your veterinarian really hears you when you explain that there's a difference in your pet's behavior. And now after hearing this radio show, hopefully you will be able to say, you know what, doc, I think my pet may be in pain. And you may enlighten your veterinarian because it's not something that we think of enough. So that is a really, really, really good point. And now I want to talk about cats, because cats are animals that are not as social, obviously, or not as interactive. They're not going to go run and chase a ball necessarily. And they're such elusive creatures. How in the world can we tell if our cat is feeling discomfort?
Well, what a great question, because of course the cat is very elusive. Cats are very good at hiding their illnesses, and so one question might be, well, why would they choose to do that? Well, probably the most important reason is cats evolved as predators. Think about the lions and the tigers out there in the savannas. These are animals that hunt for a living, and when a predator can no longer be the hunter, they become someone else's prey. They become someone else's lunch. So from an evolutionary perspective, it's really not in their best interest to let anyone around them know that there is a weakness afoot. So that makes them really, really tough as pain patients. One of the scariest papers I've read recently was a paper that came out of the university at Texas A&M University, actually, College of Veterinary Medicine, where there was a study where the doctors, the investigators, looked at x-rays of cats that had come to the teaching hospital at Texas A&M Veterinary College, and they had just looked at those x-rays specifically to look for evidence of osteoarthritis in the skeletons on the x-rays. Every one of the cats whose x-rays they examined was at the veterinary teaching hospital for something that didn't have anything to do with pain. They were not there for pain. They were there for abdominal issues, bladder stones, heart disease, lung tumors, respiratory disease. So they weren't there for pain. And over 90% of the x-rays of cats 10 years and older showed that those cats had bony evidence of osteoarthritis.
Now, and that hurts.
Well, and you and I as veterinarians know that you can't get those bony changes until the arthritis has been present in the bones and joints for a very long time. So these are cats who were suffering silently, suffering unnecessarily, suffering the pain of osteoarthritis. So it's a scary thing, and it's much more prevalent than you and I were ever trained in veterinary school to think about. So when we recognize pain in cats, we need to understand that there's some overlap with dogs. So we start with considering changes in behavior. Now, those changes in behavior that are specific to cats, probably the number one that I see in my exam room is a decrease in grooming behavior or a change in grooming behavior. These are cats that come in the exam room and they just look unkempt. Cats really like to pay attention to their appearance. They want to make sure that their, you know, that their tie is tied and all their buttons are buttoned in the right way and their shoes are tied and they've got matching socks on. I mean, we all know that cats are very fastidious about their appearance. If they come in and if they start to look unkempt, or they get little mats in different areas of their body down around their tail base, for instance, or the sides of their rear legs, and they just don't look like they're keeping themselves up, that is the first and most important sign that they are suffering some kind of a painful condition.
So I'm going to interrupt you here because I, as a veterinarian, I'm thinking to myself, I see that so often. And as you said, they're not coming in because the owner thinks that they're in pain. So as a veterinarian, what do I do? Do I take an x-ray of the whole body because the animal has a change in its grooming behavior? Or I'm just like, I don't want to miss it, but obviously we've been missing it for so long. So how do we approach that with the cat and the owner?
Well, fortunately, it's a lot easier than taking a whole cat x-ray. The most important place for us to start, in addition to the questions we ask, so a couple of other questions to consider would be asking that cat owner, is your cat jumping up on the windowsill like he always has? Are you seeing changes in your cat's vertical behavior? Does your cat object when you pet it in different parts of its body? And that's really where we come in as veterinarians, is to teach ourselves a systematic way to actually touch our patients from the tip of their nose to the tip of their tail, from the top of their back to the tips of their toes, where we touch them along the spine, where we touch them along the sides of the neck, where we touch them on their legs and on their feet. And in cats, the areas that are the most at risk for developing osteoarthritis and consequently pain are at the area right where the rib cage ends and the lower back begins. So I'd pay a lot of attention to using the fatty part of the end of my fingers and actually palpate in that area. And then the other area in cats is where the spine ends and the pelvis begins. Lots and lots of cats have osteoarthritis at the very low back and in the pelvic area, not necessarily the hip joints themselves, but where the back and the pelvis come together, where the spine and the pelvis come together. And if we touch those areas in a very systematic way where we apply enough pressure that the end of our fingernail blanches out white. And I teach my pet owners how to do this, where you just put enough pressure that the end of your fingernail goes white. That should be perceived as pressure in an animal that's healthy and that doesn't have pain. And if their reaction to that amount of pressure is, please don't do that again or I will bite your finger off, and that's a cat that is having pain issues.
Well, we only have a few more minutes, so that was amazing for me. I want to hear a little bit more as quickly as we can so we can get through this important stuff, and then we're going to get on to part two of our series.
So one of the most important things that I can share with you as a colleague and with your listeners as pet owners and pet lovers is the International Veterinary Academy of Pain Management. I had the privilege of helping to found this organization, and at the website, IVAPM.org, pet owners can go to the IVAPM.org website and actually see a video called Is Your Pet in Pain?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Which is a great video to help really identify, hey, how would I have some clues that my pet might be in pain? Likewise, you as a veterinarian can join the IVAPM. I encourage the pet owner to actually go to the veterinarian and ask, are you a member of the IVAPM? And if not, why not? Because the IVAPM provides us as veterinarians with resources that we can use to help A, do a better job recognizing our patients in pain, and B, know what tools we need to leverage to help those patients in pain. So just remember, cats and dogs alike, changes in behavior, changes in posture, activity, interaction, mental alertness, all of these are things that could potentially point to pain.
And grooming behavior, too, which is, I think, a really good one, right?
Yeah.
And then I want to... Hopefully people will listen to this, and then when I say, listen, I don't like the way this feels, let's take an x-ray, they won't think I'm just trying to get more money out of them.
Exactly.
But really educating myself, educating them, and I'm really excited about this website that you just gave us too. So this is just so important. We could talk for hours, and I wish we could, but we have really learned a lot about recognizing pain in our pets. And most importantly, is recognizing. Secondly, is now what can we do about it? And so that's why we're going to have a second part of our series where we're going to discuss these options for addressing the discomfort. And fortunately, there's a lot of new things available now for cats, which we never used to have. So I'm very excited to hear about that. And really, I can't tell you enough how important this show is to me. I really do believe that pain is the most underdiagnosed problem in veterinary medicine. So thank you so very much. Now, we really want to thank Dr. Downing and, of course, our ever patient, talented producer, Mark Winter, who's always very patient and helpful for making this show possible. And you can learn more about Dr. Downing by going to her website, DowningCenter.com, and you can read it in her bio as well. And if you have any additional questions for Dr. Downing or for myself, Dr. Diane Levitan, click on The Pet Doctor and download What Makes You Happy. Also, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a show, please email me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. It's been my pleasure to guest host The Pet Doctor, and I hope you hear from me again soon. Please make sure to listen to part two of this important series now to learn how we treat the discomfort in our pets. See you next time.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.